And welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland. Stephanie will be here shortly, and so will our guest for the next half hour or so, cellist Matt Heimovitz, playing live here in our studio. We'll have the quiz question at 12:30. It's already in hand, I'm happy to say. And getting the ball rolling, something fantastic. It's the first of the Fantasiestücke of Robert Schumann, as played by cellist Matt Heimovitz with pianist Itmar Golan. That was Mr. Matt Heimovitz with Itmar Golan at the piano, and they were playing two of the Fantasiestücke, fantasy pieces, Opus 73, Robert Schumann, and welcome again to the Midday. Look who's here. Stephanie is here. Welcome back, Matt.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
We are thrilled to welcome Matt Heimovitz, one of the world's greatest cello virtuosos, here to the Midday. And not only is he an acclaimed performer with really fantastic technical skills, he's also a musical pioneer. And Matt, you're here because you're going to be appearing in Fort Atkinson tonight doing a program called Figment.
Tomorrow night,
actually. Tomorrow
night,
that's
right. Yeah, I just drove in from Minneapolis. We're heading to Chicago for a masterclass this afternoon and coming back tomorrow to play at this one of my favorite listening rooms in the country, actually, Café Carp. Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin.
You've appeared as a soloist with the best orchestras around the globe, and you started at Juilliard with Leonard Rose. And this is kind of an unconventional way to go with your career track.
Well, I've been doing this for a while, and I started with the Bach cello suites, playing Bring It to Café Carp, had a wonderful experience, brought back more contemporary program. In fact, I think I was back in Café Carp with the pianist that you played, Itamar Golan. I think we were back there on a tour. He was very curious. When I tell people about these kinds of tours, they get kind of intrigued and they're like, "Hey, take me on one of those." but you know, as I've been doing this, it's really an ideal setting to hear solo cello music. And one of my interests for years has been working with living composers and bringing new music to audiences around the country, and these venues have been found to be ideal for this. And tomorrow I'm actually not alone for a change, which is nice. I'm joined by one of the composers on the new album, which is called Figment, and the composer that's with me is Du Yun, living in New York. She's here in the studio today, and a Chinese composer who wrote really an extraordinary piece for cello and electronics that I heard before I knew anything about her. I just heard this piece and knew I had to play it. So from there, we started collaborating and we formed a kind of, a narrative that ties it all together and that involves some improvisation. But the pieces that I'll be playing tomorrow are from the new recording, Figment.
What would you like to play right now? You're all poised there with your 1710 vintage cello.
You know, it's hard to say. I've been driving for a while, but I think I'll warm up with a Stephen Stuckey piece. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning composer out at Cornell. He teaches at Cornell, and he wrote this piece for a current student of mine, a doctoral student at McGill University, Eleanor Fry, and he bases this piece on the spelling of her name, Eleanor. So you have that spelled out in the very first statement that I make. And it's called dialogi. It's a conversation between those original pitches and all the other pitches of the scale. And I go through a set of variations with this idea of a dialogue between some of these gestures and pitches. And really, it's inspired by their conversations centered around all things Italian. They love Italian culture, language, food, music, and that's what inspired Stephen Stuckey to write this piece.
Dialogi by Stephen Stuckey. played by Matt Heimovitz.
Thank you.
That's your warm-up piece, huh?
I know. No, don't try that. Not a good idea.
It was Dialogi by...
Dialogi by Stephen Stuckey.
He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning composer.
He is.
And that's on your new CD called Figment.
It is, and I'm glad I played it today because it's actually not on the program tomorrow. We're doing six or seven other pieces from the album. One piece that we're doing tomorrow is not on the album. It's on the previous tour. By David Sanford, called Seventh Avenue Kaddish, a piece inspired by John Coltrane's Love Supreme, and really treating the cello becomes a kind of a cross between a cantor and a saxophone player.
Wow.
On the streets of New York.
Yeah. Wow, is that all? An entire little film in one piece of music.
Yeah.
And as you play these, I'm not exactly sure how to, let's say, alternative venues, and you've been doing this now for several years, do you ever find yourself in some rather strange musical company? I mean, in terms
you mean
of
like the
preceding
Blues Brothers,
act or the following act?
The Blues Brothers. Oh, company, that kind of company. I thought you meant like Chicken Wire. Yes, I do. I do. Well, I mean, just yesterday, not, it wasn't that unusual, but we had a jazz combo follow us at the Dakota. I mean, that's naturally what happens at the Dakota in Minneapolis is generally they present jazz. And I asked the promoter yesterday because our show, you know, is fairly out there in the sense of, you know, we're bringing a little bit of theater and improvisation into it. Of course, all these cutting edge newer works, living composers. So I asked him if he had had anything quite this out there at the Dakota. And he said, well, actually, you weren't the most out there. He brought up that there's a band, the Bad Plus, that came in, you know, and did a whole, like, totally improvised show with another cellist, and he said that was really you know, even more avant-garde. So you know, nice to know that. there's always, you can always go further with this.
I said the time I saw you perform, it must be a few years ago now in one of those venues. I seem to recall you had a range from what, Bach to Jimi Hendrix in the same program.
Right. I mean, this program is really, it's got a lot of range, but not in terms of genre necessarily. This is Canadian and American composers. It brings in electronics and sort of the future of the instrument. You know, one of the pieces I can't play tomorrow, particularly Café Carpe, is a piece by Serge Provost that requires some processing of the cello sound and hauntingly beautiful what he does with this piece. But partly what Dion and I were grappling with in bringing all of this music together is the idea that there are so many languages within contemporary music, and that's what alienates audiences for the most part, because they're used to listening to a certain kind of tonal language, either classical, romantic style, whatever it is,
major or minor,
like Beethoven. Yeah, and all of a sudden you've got not only Schoenberg going, Etonley, you've got Debussy doing his thing, you've got Bartok incorporating folk music into his compositional style, you've got all these different factions, and then the offshoots of that that go even farther away. So it's very alienating to not know what's going on. And partly every piece on this program is a very, very different stylistic, compositional language. But to me, they speak very much. They tie together. They somehow are related. There's a bridge between them. And that's what we're trying to do with the show, also with the improvisations, to sort of establish that there's a sense of lyricism and raw energy to these to all these pieces that they belong together in some way.
We're certainly seeing raw energy here in the studio. Matt, when you bring your cello to a coffee shop or an outdoor festival or a nightclub like this, are you reaching non-traditional listeners? Are you introducing the cello to folks who have never seen one or heard one before?
Occasionally, yes. I mean, at this point, cello is a pretty popular instrument. You know, thanks to Yo-Yo Ma and some others, it's in the movies. It's considered a sexy accessory. You know, so I think at this point, cello is pretty.
We should all go get one.
I recommend it highly. Yeah, put it on your back. It's people love the sound of the instrument. It's very close to the human voice. There are some new listeners who don't normally go to the symphony who are coming to my shows, but I like to think that tomorrow when you come to Café Carpe, you're going to hear the cello, even if you know it, if you think you know it, you're going to hear it in a slightly different way, a variety of ways and sounds I think that's one of the reasons that living composers love to write for the instrument, because of the range of what it can do, and it can really be a chameleon.
Well, we've talked about contrasts, so having played the Stephen Stuckey Dialogi, what would be a good contrast piece?
Well, this is an example. The next piece is by Anna Sokolovic, a piece written in 2005. She's a Canadian composer of Serbian origin, and this incorporates Serbian folk style of music into the language, very much in the tradition of Béla Bartók, the way he incorporated Hungarian and Romanian folk musics into his music. So this very different kind of piece, very nostalgic piece that you immediately recognize its folk origins.
And the name of it again?
The name is Vez, which is translated as embroidery.
Thank you.
Vez.
Embroidery, which actually I guess is in the tradition of an arabesque. It means pretty much the same thing, something with a filigree to it.
Exactly, and a lot of texture and various, she's exploring various textural capabilities of the instrument.
Reminds me at the end of some of those 19th century pieces that end, you know, with the clock striking 12 or something.
Yeah, the drone.
You can also hear the Balkan folk melody throughout.
Absolutely.
That. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
That was composer Anna Sokolovich.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. She's not yet known in the States, but she's quite well known in Quebec.
And that was a performance by Matt Heimovitz, who is our guest live here on the midday. And he'll be appearing tomorrow night in Fort Atkinson at Cafe Carpe. That's C-A-R-P-E. And you can find information online at cafecarpe.com. Figment is your newest release. Are you working on anything else? What's coming up for recording
projects?
Yeah,
we have a few things in the pipeline. One with the clarinetist David Krakauer. We've got a Messiaen quartet for the end of time, but framed from an interesting perspective of the original clarinetist who was Jewish in the group, Henri Akoka, who played it with Messiaen. And so we frame it with some klezmer music.
Wow.
It's hard. Yeah, it's quite something.
It's an interesting combination.
So that's actually recorded. We recorded it live in Montreal over two nights, and it'll come out in the spring. And next year is Oxengale, our record label that we started 9 years ago. Next year will be our 10th anniversary. So we got a few surprises coming out for next season. It's a difficult climate now economically, and for the music business, everything is changing, very transitional. But we just keep doing it and hoping that, you know, the audience will continue to support us, and so that we'll be able to continue dreaming up these wonderful and crazy projects. I mean, something like Figment is, you know, I could never have imagined going into this direction eight or 9 years ago. So it's been really liberating to be able to have our own label and sort of at our own pace.
Well, speaking of
the releases,
speaking of labels, maybe the very kind of thing you're trying to avoid. But I mean, when you go to a CD store, you look under a certain category,
right,
for one kind of music or another.
If you still go to a CD store, yeah.
That's right. Or maybe online, yeah. I suppose they are categorized that way. I mean, do you feel yourself sort of forced into, for mercantile purposes, a category for what you play, what you record?
Well, that's one of the biggest challenges that we face, because we put out last year we put out Bach Goldberg variations.
Right. Well, here's some of that maybe a little later.
Oh, great. And then next year we'll put out Figment, and then the same trio, we're talking about doing the Beethoven trios. So we go back, you know, and for us this is part of the same continuum. It's, you know, we still feel like we're within the classical tradition, even if I throw on a little Jimi Hendrix here or there, or you know, some Led Zeppelin or whatever, but still our hearts and the foundation of what we do is in the classical tradition that started with these groundbreaking composers hundreds of years ago and continues to this day with living composers. So if you had to classical is kind of stigmatized, but that's, if you have to categorize us, that's where we belong, in the classical section. But
living classical, you might call it.
I'd prefer to just be in the music section, because I think there should be good music and the other kind, you know. Whoever said that, but I mean that's the way we feel. So hopefully, you know, the audience is broad.
You've been staying on the cutting edge in a number of ways. In fact, tomorrow night, Du Yun will be there with her laptop and with vocals, perhaps, and keyboard. And that's something different. Does that change the performing dynamic?
I should let her answer that. But it does. It actually, for me, again, it's been a little liberating and challenging to this whole process, because all of a sudden I'm having to use, when I go into clubs, often I would have to use a mic, but I wanted, you know, I have such a nice instrument, a nice bow, I have very good tools, so it's kind of a shame to use a second-rate mic to pick that up. Mm-hmm. And so basically what we're doing with all of this technology is it's just adding more instruments to the mix, and so by having a mic capturing the close sound of the instrument, you know, just last week I've been fine-tuning it. I mean, we started this tour a couple weeks ago in New York City at Le Poisson Rouge. And from there, a few weeks ago to now, it's developed so much. Even my equipment, the pedals that I'm using, the reverb machine that I'm using is totally different, because I keep sort of fine-tuning it. You get to be somewhat of a perfectionist. You're looking for the ideal sound. And so these are just additional tools to play with. So I feel like, in a way, I'm in a, you know, sandbox with a lot of good, nice toys.
Speaking of that,
playing around.
Can you tell us a little bit about this beautiful cello?
This is a beautiful cello. It's a Venetian instrument, and next year it's its 300th anniversary too. Wow, yeah, 10th for Oxengale and 300 for my Matteo Goffriller cello. So Yeah, I've had it since I made my first recording on Deutsche Grammophon in 88.
Wow.
So, I don't know. My math has gone downhill, but it's a number of years, right?
21.
20, yeah.
So that's how long I've had it.
You have time for one more short one? I know you have only.
Yeah,
so
I wish I had commissioned this one, but I didn't put anything else on the stand. So the only thing I can play from memory right now is some Bach. So
could do worse.
Yeah, could be worse. Is 5 minutes okay? Talk about
just
this.
Just fine.
Okay,
that'd be lovely.
All right. So this will be a Saraband from the third suite of Bach.
Wonderful. A Sarban by Bach.
Performed by our guest, Matt Heimowitz. What an honor and a privilege to hear this beautiful music live in the studio. We really appreciate your coming today.
My pleasure. Always great to see you.
It's hard to imagine that instrument is a contemporary of Bach's, you know.
It is hard.
Yeah, Bach would have been 25 years old when that thing was made.
Yeah, and 10 years after the Bach cello suites were composed. Sorry, 10 years before the Bach cello suites were composed.
Right, so that's
this was made, yeah.
Quite some good company you're keeping.
Can you imagine that he made this instrument? He didn't know that these pieces existed.
the two seem very well suited for each other.
Thank you.
We will get to the solution to our quiz question in just a couple of minutes, and between now and then, as long as we've mentioned it and have heard a little bit of Bach, we'll have the last variation, the 30th of the Goldberg Variations.
Great.
From your new CD. I think it came out last year.
Yes, that's right, last year.
And that's also on the Oxendale Records?
Oxendale, yes, that's right. And it's with two colleagues of mine from McGill University.
Jonathan Crowe and Douglas McNabney.
Exactly.